Hallelujah. If this clap is for the worship team members, how about unto our living God? Amen. We are grateful unto our living God for such a wonderful morning that our King of Kings has blessed us again. And I'm privileged to talk on the subject, walk in the light. Walk in light. Beloved in the Lord, a time has come, and that time is now, that we believers ought to stop just being Christians at the church environment like this place, but rather taking the church with us wherever we go. Like those of us that are in schools, that our grades will not be earned by cheating. Our grades will not be earned because we are close with the professor, or because we sold out our virginity to that professor. But then our grades will be earned based on our virtues, based on what we are holding on to in our Lord Jesus Christ. At our workplaces, promotions and pay rise will not be because we have compromised with something that is evil. The promotion and the pay rise will not be because you've fallen to that man or that woman. At our factories, all workers will be treated with the love that our Lord Jesus Christ had bestowed on our lives. How about our marketplaces? Are we going to promote an unjust balance? What are we going to stand for? Are we going to stand for fairness? Are we going to stand for that which will please the Lord? Or we would like to work out our own way at the marketplaces? You can name so many places in our life that we find ourselves. How is our attitude with dealing with people? In Antioch, the Bible says the believers led a Christ-like life to bring about the name Christian. In the book of Acts chapter 11, verse 26. What are we then doing as children of the Lord of our day? That the Lord has placed us in different places just to let his light to shine onto the world. What are we doing to let people know that the life that they are living is not right before our living God? What are we doing to impart the light that is in us into their life? Shall we come before the Lord in prayer? Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, you are welcome once again, O Lord, to speak to your people as we listen. Heavenly Father, may you nail me to the cross and let the life of Christ, O Lord, flow through me as you speak to your people. Let us rise again, Lord, to your calling in grace and in power. Father, we thank you for the hearts, O Lord, that you have prepared for your word this morning. We are also grateful unto you, Lord, for the power that you've made available to bring about a change, a transformation in the lives of your people this morning. Be thou glorified, O God. Be thou exalted over our gathering here this morning in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved, our text under consideration is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, reading from verse 8 to 14. And I want to read from the King James Version. It said, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all these
But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Awake from thy sleeping, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Beloved in the Lord, when Apostle Paul was writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, Apostle Paul was not talking about the church struggling with darkness. Apostle Paul, at that point, was not talking about the church being influenced with darkness. But then, the very, very first verse, verse 8, made it very clear that they were darkness itself. And this form of darkness is not something that was outside their body or their heart. But this darkness is the blindness and the absence of light in their heart. It's the blindness and the absence of purity in their heart. Their hearts were full of darkness. Their hearts was full of wickedness and profanity. And so Apostle Paul was telling them that they were that nature of darkness itself. But they were not influenced by darkness, nor are they struggling with darkness. And that was the state that he also quoted in the same Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, that among whom also we all once conduct ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Beloved, the Bible says that at that point, their nature, they were so lustful of the things of the flesh. And they were following the things of their mind. And for that reason, they become objects of God's wrath. We were all at that point wallowing in sin. So if at that time that church were in that state, it also tells us that our condition before we came to Christ was not that we were righteous. We were also in darkness. We were also darkness itself. And we were wallowing in sin without any rumors or any repentance. And so that is how we were before you and I came to know our Lord Jesus Christ. But we thank our living God that we were not left in that state forever. But by the grace of God, we have been saved. And not just being saved, but that grace has also produced in us a mighty change of our soul that has made us different people. So in the same verse 8, it says that now are we light in the Lord. That salvation had made us now light in Him. And that is how Apostle Paul put it in the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, that He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has conveyed us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Apostle Peter also showed the same confirmation in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that we have been called out of darkness unto His marvelous light. And so previously we were darkness, but by the grace of God, the Bible says God delivered us. And He translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And therefore, that is our state now. And our state too is also described in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, that you are all sons and daughters of light. You are all sons and daughters of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness anymore. For we are no longer people of darkness. We are no longer darkness itself. But the Bible says we are now people of the day. We are now people of light. And so that is our state. And if that is our state now, how do we have to walk in this life? How do we have to walk in this life? We are to walk in the light. Because the one who has called us is light himself. The Bible says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. 1 John 1:5. Our God is light, and he has called us. And for that matter, in him there is no darkness. And if this God has called us, then we ought to walk in that light. And our Lord Jesus Christ also confessed in John chapter 8, verse 12, that I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And this is to tell us that they are light itself. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that I am the light of the world. And so it confirms that they are the light itself. And so what do we mean by light? Light is the spiritual awareness and understanding of God working in us by his Holy Spirit. This light we are talking about is God's own awareness and understanding of his Spirit working in us. It is not about our own understanding about how things are. It is not our own understanding about what purity is. But the Bible says, in this particular text, it's telling us that it's God's own understanding. It is something that comes from God in our hearts as to what purity is, as to what righteousness is, as to what holiness is, what godliness is. For the world, they may have different definition to righteousness. For the world, they may have different definition to purity. But before God, purity is still purity. And so when we are to make it very short, we can say that light is what God sees is pure. Light is what God knows is right. Light is what God understands is transparent. Light is what God knows is true. It is not about what you think is true, but what by his Spirit he shares with our hearts. What by his Spirit he convicts us to understand about what light is, or what purity, truth, or honesty is. And so that is basically what light is in this perspective. And the other aspect of it is that for you and I today, we can go to the switches around and begin to dim the light or even to put it off because we know how this light came about. We know how they generated it, either by thermal or hydro or probably by wind or whichever means that the lighting system are working, or by solar, whatever. Because we know the formation or how it came about, you and I had control over it. But the light we are talking about, you did not produce it. I did not produce it. I have no control over it. So I have no control to try and reduce the illumination of it. I have no control in trying to increase the illumination of it. All that I'm obliged to do is to walk in that light as we have been called into it. This light is God himself. And therefore, he has called us to walk in it. This purity is God himself. He has called us to walk in that purity. This holiness is God himself. And he has called us to walk in that holiness. There is no point in trying to define your own holiness. You cannot reduce it. You cannot increase it. And so this holiness, the Bible says something in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Reading from 1 to 5, it says that for people shall become lovers of themselves, boastful, and will be hated of things that are good. And for that matter, they will adopt unto themselves the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. For most of us, because we become lovers of ourselves, more than lovers of God, our attitude will be trying to lower the standards so that our lives can feel comfortable. Our attitude will be trying to do things that is within our understanding, but not as God understands it to be. Our attitude will be trying to do things as will be pleasant to our eyes, but not as it will be pleasant to our living God. Even though we are Christians, we will be trying to lower the standard. But the Bible is saying that when we begin to live that lifestyle, We will then be defining a form of godliness for ourselves and will lack the power therein to bring about a change in our lives. And so we are told here that that power or that light that we are called to walk in, you and I have no control to lower it or to increase its illumination. You can do it early to our lighting system, but not that which the Lord has called us to walk in. And the end of such life, of trying to reduce the illumination of the light, is eternal destruction. Therefore, beloved in the Lord, we are called to walk in the light. And so what are the importance of walking in this light? What do we then gain? Apostle Paul at that point was telling them that so that they can bear the fruit of the Spirit. So that they can bear the fruit of the Spirit. Left to you alone, you have no power to exhibit goodness. Left to you alone, you have no power to exhibit righteousness. But it's only by the power of God on your life, because you are walking in Him, that will enable you to exhibit goodness and righteousness. And so for us to bear that fruit of righteousness, for us to bear that fruit of goodness, for us to bear that fruit of truth, we ought to keep walking in the light. And so what does the goodness refer in this situation? Goodness refers to moral excellence. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Acts 10:38, the Bible says everywhere He went, He was doing good. Everywhere our Lord Jesus Christ was, He was doing good. He was healing the sick, feeding the poor, casting out demons, raising the dead. All that was about our Lord Jesus Christ was goodness. Just because He is light. And He kept walking in the light. And if we are also to have such a life with us, then there is no way walking outside the light. We have to walk in the light. And 1 Thessalonians 5:15 also says that always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all men. It's very easy for us pursuing that which is good for ourselves. But the challenge is when we are pursuing that which is good for our neighbors. And so here, Apostle Paul was admonishing the church in Thessalonians that they should pursue what is good, both for themselves and for all men. And in Amos chapter 5 verse 14 says, seek good and not evil, that you may live, so that the Lord God of hosts will be with you as He has promised. There are benefits if we continue to pursue goodness in our life. The Bible says when we seek good and not evil, we will live. If we pursue goodness with all our heart, if we walk in the light with all our heart and are able to bear the fruit of goodness, the Bible says we will live. And the God of hosts shall be with us. And not just being with us, but then we also honor His promises concerning our lives. And so as we live in goodness, as we walk in the light and we are able to bear the fruit of goodness, mind you, we are not left unrewarded, or we are not left with nothing. The Lord God will grant us long life. The Lord God will be with us. And He will honor His words concerning our lives. The second fruit that He mentioned over there was righteousness. That is living in integrity before God and man. How is our integrity before God, before people? Let's just bring it to a normal level. How do people see us? Is our integrity something worthy? Or is our integrity something that somebody can vie for? If not something that somebody can depend on, then we need to work at it. Then we need to keep walking in the light. Because the Bible says, for our Lord Jesus Christ grew in stature, in wisdom, in favor with God and in favor with men. That means he obtained integrity before God and he obtained integrity before men. No one could accuse him of any wrongdoing. And if we want to also keep such a life on our lives, then we have to keep walking in light so that we can bear the fruit of righteousness. And so in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he made him who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We might become the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness that we have is of God. And we obtain that in Christ our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for us to keep that, and for us to be able to have the needed impact as our Lord Jesus Christ had in this life, then we have to keep walking in light. In 1 Timothy 6:11 also says that, but you, O man of God, and I believe that all sitting here are children of God, whichever way. If you've accepted our Lord and personal Savior, you are a child of God, and so you are called a man or a woman of God. And Apostle Paul was telling Timothy at that time that, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, love, patience, and gentleness. What does he have to, what does he have to flee? He has to flee from all unfruitful works of darkness, that which are contradicting to the virtues or the fruit of the Spirit. And so God, through Apostle Paul, was telling Timothy that he should flee. It's not something that he ought to entertain in his life. It's not something that he ought to take lightly, but he has to be on a run, away from those things. The last thing with regard to the fruit was truth. And when we talk of truth, we are talking of absence of deception, absence of falsehood and hypocrisy. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 25, it says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. And so there is no need of telling the so-called white lies. Every time such a situation comes, I come across a situation like that, there's one thing I used to ask myself. That should I be the person that somebody ought to testify, but just basing on the fact that he's telling something like a white lie, and therefore would turn verdict in the mind of people, would turn verdict that can end somebody's life in jail? How would I feel? I just asked myself, should I be the person that somebody who just use the term white lies and therefore would just turn the black to white? And my life, my integrity, my future will be in a mess. How will I feel? And as long as I will feel very bad about it, then there is no need for me to tell something like a white lie. There is no need for me to turn black into white. I must maintain black as black and white as white. And so there is no point in lying, for we are all of one body. We are all of one body, and we ought to tell the truth to one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 also says that, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking the truth also in love. You have the opportunity in telling the truth, but how is your attitude? Were you so judgmental or condemning with presenting the truth? How is our attitude in extending the truth to our neighbors? The Bible says it ought to be done in love so that we can continue in fellowship with one another. Beloved in the Lord, so what are the duties of walking in the light? As we have been redeemed into the light, what are our duties? What are we supposed to do? As we bear these fruits, are they supposed to be in us walking about? For it not having any needed impact, there is a reason for the fruits in your life as you walk in the light. And when you look at the verse 10, it says that we are to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. It's our duty to prove what is acceptable in our decision making. It is our duty to prove what is acceptable in any board meeting we find ourselves there. It's our duty to prove to the world what is acceptable unto the Lord, but not unto the world. And so when you read something, it says that, for we have to stand for the truth, not compromises with the world, not being men pleasers, but pleasing God in all our dealings. And we can find a backing text in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which says that, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and what is acceptable and perfect will of our living God. We should not conform to this world. We should not compromise to this world. We should not tend the truth to this world. We should not be people that will be men pleasers in this life. But we should be people that will be seeking to please our living God in all our dealings. The second aspect is that we should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's the verse 11. And here, what are these works of darkness? What are these unfruitful works of darkness that the Bible is talking about? They are just things that are not good. They are just things that are not right. They are just things that are not true. Simply put, before God, any act of unfruitfulness are things that are not good, are things that are not right, are things that are not truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible is saying that we should avoid those things. We have no fellowship with those unfruitful works of darkness. It's amazing to see in our current situation, or maybe in our present world, that a Holy Ghost-filled believer is not ashamed to talk of maybe having extramarital affairs, involving business and money scandal, lying and cheating comfortably, doing things his own way without any sense of guilt, involving in all forms of unfruitful works of darkness, having all this baggage with him, yet he's calling on God for a miracle. That would be very difficult. So we ought to lay off all these baggages of unfruitful works of darkness before we can then attain the blessings of our living God. Apostle Paul put it in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:22 that we should abstain from every form of evil. And also we should do not be deceived, for evil company corrupts good habits. That is 1 Corinthians 15:33. That we should abstain from all forms of evil. And we should not be deceived that the company we join, the friends we pick, the people we move out with will certainly influence our life. And therefore, the Lord is admonishing us this morning that for us to avoid such a fellowship of unfruitful works of darkness, we need to abstain from all forms of evil. And also be mindful of the company that we get into. And finally on that, he said, for we are to reprove or expose them. And here, why do we have to reprove and expose them? We are to do that because, you know, this world has a ruler who is Satan and his demonic systems who are trying to make the works of darkness appear to be as the works of light. But then the truth of the matter is that the works that they are trying to make as the works of light are not. They are just deceivers. They are just lying to us. And so it is your duty who is walking in the light to reprove them. It is your duty who is walking in the light to expose their deeds, to let them know that the things that they have believed as righteousness, they are not. The things that they have defined as holiness is not. And so the Lord is admonishing us that are in him for us to know that it's our duty who are walking in light to reprove or expose the deeds of darkness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 14, the Bible made it very clear that Satan himself appears as the angel of light, deceiving many believers. And so if he had appeared as angel of light, what can't he do to symbol as light? For us, it's not light. And people to follow it only to realize that they are all going to hell. These are the plans of the enemy. These are the deeds of the enemy. And it's your duty, it's my duty to expose them. It's your duty, it's my duty to reprove them. And so when we walk in the light, that is why we have that power to reprove them. So in John chapter 3 verse 19, he says that, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Because of the deeds of this world, they've all now begin to frown on the light. They've all begin to condemn the light. They've all turned out to be hatred of the light. And if they hated Christ for him standing as the light, how much you? You'd also be hated in that meeting that you are telling them the right thing. In that gathering that you are telling them that which is true. You will not be easily accepted. You will be opposed. And so that is the challenge that you and I should be prepared to face. In this situation, we should be ready to face persecution. Because the Bible says our Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples were opposed, even by the Pharisees, who were also the religious leaders. And so we should be ready for opposition when we walk in the light and begin to reprove and expose the deeds of the enemy. In conclusion, beloved, in the verse 14, it says, awake. And here is a challenge for us all. If we have failed in living in the light, if we have forgotten our identity, and for that matter, we are now living by the identity of our upbringing, by the identity of our family name, by the identity of our education, by the identity of maybe our status in the society. And for that matter, we have forgotten our real identity in Christ. Then we ought to awake. We ought to rise up again. Because we cannot, with that identity, have the needed impact in our environment. We cannot, with that identity, be able to cause the change that is needed in our environment unless we get into that identity of Christ for our lives, which is written in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We are now members. We are now citizens of the household of God. And that is our identity now. Our identity is that we are no more foreigners. We are no more strangers. We are no more darkness. We are people of the light. And so people of the light ought to be active because light is active. People of the light ought to shine because light shines. And so until we come to that point of being active, there is no need for light on us. Because we all could bear that when you are deeply asleep, you can bear witness of this fact that when you are deeply asleep or somebody is dead and there is light in that room, the light has no influence, has no meaning to that dead body. The light has no meaning when you are deeply asleep. You don't have any emphasis or any value for the light. But unless you are active, that is where you see the importance of light. And so Apostle Paul was drawing their mind to the fact that they have to be active for the Lord our God to shine the light on us. That is where we will see the value and the importance of light in our life. And so this morning, the challenge to us is that we ought to be active, which we are all going to get into that business this morning before we come to the end of our session. And so in the scripture we just read, Apostle Peter also said that for we are now a chosen of the Lord, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praise of him who had called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so that is our state now. We've been called into his marvelous light. We've been called into a state of light, and there's no need for us to keep sleeping. There's no need for us to keep in our deadness. We ought to arise. We ought to be up so that the light of God will shine on our lives. Beloved in the Lord, we are going to pray. We are going to spend some time and call on the name of the living God to activate in us that awareness once again, to cause us to be active. Because when you read something in the book of Ezekiel 22 verse 30, it says that, so I sought for a man among them who would make a war and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I found no one. Is it not disheartening that the Lord could look among his people and could not find anyone active, could not find anyone yearning that the Lord can depend on to bring about deliverance for his own people. If that was possible, then how about us this morning? That the Lord beholding us, can he say that he can find an active person, that based on that person, I will redeem this country. Based on that person, I will redeem this city. Based on that person, I will redeem this very area. Can the Lord get somebody among us this morning? The Lord is looking for people that are awake, that are active and are ready to come before him so that he will shine on them. So as the verse 14 reads, it says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. This morning, Christ is going to give us light. For whichever posture you feel comfortable in praying, just go ahead and then pray. If you feel comfortable sitting down, sit down. If you feel comfortable standing, stand. If you feel comfortable, whichever way, as we come before the Lord in prayer, I want the worship team to join me as we sing this song together before the living God, that as you prepare your heart and you begin to call on the mighty name of the Lord who is mighty to save. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Oh Lord, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And be saved. When you read something in the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 2, it says that for we are not to conform to this world. And so our prayer is going to be, anything in our life that is compelling us to compromise and conform to this present world, we are asking the power of the Holy Ghost to strip them away. Maybe yours could be about lustfulness. Yours could be covetousness. Yours could be the hunger for money. And for that matter, you easily compromise. I want us to come before the mighty God and say we should not conform to this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So just pray to our living God that anything in your life that is compelling you to conform to the standards of this world, by the power of the Holy Ghost, you should strip them away, that your soul will be free to be awake unto our living God to attract his light. Let's just begin to pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we trust in your might and your power, Lord your God, to strip away anything, oh God, compelling us into evil. Father, anything in our lives, be it, oh Lord, our passion, oh Lord, for the world, be it, oh God, our lustfulness, oh Lord, be it, oh God, oh Lord, the pride in us, oh God, every state of life in us, oh God, that is compelling us, oh God, to conform to this world by the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, may you strip them away, Lord God. And destroyed every work of the enemy, Lord, of our lives, Lord. The second point is, in 2 Timothy 4, 3 to 5, it says that for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. And that is the time in which we are, where people are so mindful of their self-pleasure rather than being lovers of God or fulfilling the pleasures of our living God. And for that matter, sound doctrine is no more of importance anymore. We are coming before our Father this morning that He should strip away every deception of the devil, every deception of our own flesh, and every deception of the world that will cause us not to endure sound doctrine, that will cause us to keep on pursuing things of our own interest, but not the interest of God. Let us call on the mighty name of our living God this morning. The Father, strip away all those works. Strip away all those deceptions of the devil, the deception of our own flesh, the deception of the world about our lives, that will be able to endure sound doctrine. Let me to talk to God. Father, we want to endure sound doctrine, Lord. But the challenge of our bodies, the challenge of the enemy to our lives, the challenge of this world, Lord, makes it difficult, Lord. But Father, we know that You are a mighty God with a mighty hand, able to turn situations around. We pray that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Thou would turn our situations around. Those works of the enemy, may they be stripped off, Lord, that will be able to endure sound doctrine unto You, Lord, our King. Finally, the verse 5 says, that but You be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. There is a ministry on your life. There is an assignment on your life. You are not in life by mistake or by chance. So God has redeemed you to walk in that life so that you fulfill your ministry. But then we are faced with challenges and difficulties in this life. This hour I want us to pray before our living God that, oh Lord, I am all for You. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit, that I will be active so that I can fulfill my ministry in this life, exposing and reproving every work of darkness. Just talk before our living God, that the Spirit of the living God should fill you. The Spirit of the living God should empower you, so that you will be able to fulfill your assignment in this life. The reason for God calling you unto Himself, that you will be able to fulfill it in good cause. Let me talk to God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, finally we lift up our souls before You, asking, oh Lord, that You take control, Lord. May our will be buried in Your will. May our passions, oh God, be buried in Your passion, oh God. May our feelings, oh God, be buried in Your feelings, oh God. May You have Your own way over our life, Lord, as Your children, that You have called to walk in light. Father, for You are light, and in You there is no darkness, oh God. We pray that by Your Holy Spirit You would empower us, oh God, to be people that could reprove sin, to be people that could repose every work of darkness, and could expose them in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we seek Your strength, oh Lord, as we go through this life. Be Thou glorified, O God. Be Thou exalted in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we take our seats? God bless you.